Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I am beyond excited. I think that's not even the right word. It kind of diminishes really how I feel. Lord, I am honored and privileged today to talk about prayer because, Lord, every place I've looked this week, every various emails I've gotten and different things have reflected the fact that pray. And so, Lord, I want to even answer some questions that people may have about prayer of why, and some people would say why it's not working. So I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that, Lord, you would just infuse me with knowledge and with wisdom and with encouragement, with strength and with power and authority to let people know that you answer prayer. And Lord, somehow we'll be infused, this room would be infused with faith, and we would once again just embrace you as our Father who really loves us no matter what we're going through. Lord, do all these things in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for we pray in his name and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. My confession would be like this. Some of the hardest times in my life is when I prayed and even fasted, but the answer appeared to be no, and I didn't know why. I know maybe you've been stuck on that street. It was one that I believe that it was God's will and he would be glorified with the perceived outcome should have been answered by my prayers. Impatience, doubt, fear, even anger toward God can manifest from the heart of believers when they choose to believe that God has not responded to their prayers according to their expectations and their desires. I won't ask anyone if you've ever had those particular feelings because I know you have. Before I go any further, I just happened to get this from a person who sent it to me. And I'm not a social media person, but they forwarded this to me. It says, this was just something you need to really know. Someone has said that if Christians really understood the full extent of the power of what is available through prayer, we might be speechless. Did you know that during the World War II, there was an advisor to Winston Churchill who organized a group of people who dropped what they were doing every day at a prescribed hour for 1 minute to collectively pray for the safety of England, its people, and peace. There's now a group of people organizing in the same thing here in America. And if you'd like to participate, every evening at 8 p.m. Central Time, stop what you're doing, spend 1 minute praying for the safety of the United States, our troops, our citizens, and for return to a godly nation. If you have a smartphone, set your alarm to pray from 8 to 8:01 p.m. Please pass this along and maybe it might change the atmosphere of our country. You've heard the song, "What a Difference a Day Makes." How about "What a Difference a Minute Makes"? Of just praying and asking God to do some amazing things. Here's my questions for today. First of all, does your trust in God wane when he does not give you what you prayed for? You say, oh, no, I'm okay. I'm good with that. It's okay. No, it's not. It's almost like it goes down each level, and each time you feel a little bit more disappointed, and pretty soon you find yourself leaning to your own understanding. What about this? Does your trust in God diminish when he has reasons that defy your reasoning? Ever had your parents tell you no and not tell you why they said no? And you begin to inquire a little bit more about their no and it didn't work out to your advantage? No was the answer, and I just let it go at no. Because I kept pressing the issue. I know God's not like this, but there's something coming after my little inquisition that was not what I was really wanted. I'll get back to that in a minute, okay? Does your trust yield to his plan ultimately being better than yours? We're going to work with this. When you pray, you should always remember, and I'm going to fill in the blanks in just a moment, because the Bible says here, very simply, when you pray. There's an assumption, not really an assumption, but it's a fact that we are going to pray. And of course, he kind of outlines your prayer, gives you the way to kind of format it. But when you pray, it's like something, the most natural thing for us to do is to pray. But many of us don't know who we're praying to. So the Bible, so the Lord says when you pray, and not if you pray. There's nothing that God loves more than giving us the desires of our heart. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. What's he going to do? Give you the desires of your heart. The problem must be in the delighting. And you know what? The part of it that keeps us from delighting in the Lord is when we hear no. Have you seen your kids go sideways when they hear no from you? Fine. Okay. They get all wrinkled and weird. Makes you want to bless them, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Thank God he's not like us. Well, anyway. God loves keeping his promises. You think God's just over there, just he doesn't want to keep any promises. He just likes frustrating. No, he loves keeping his promises. So don't ever get that into your mind. And one other thing I'll add to that is God, God is the God of miracles that will bring us joy. Well, it means this, that God is also the fulfiller of dreams. And some of you stopped dreaming a long time ago. Well, I dreamed this and God's not really concerned about this, so forget it. Well, how about this? We must remain in a constant posture and attitude of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. This is what I call the impossible scripture. Here we go. Pray without ceasing. How you do that? How can you pray without ceasing? By the way, this is my grandfather's favorite scripture. And I would get so frustrated. He said, brother, man, we need to pray without ceasing. I'm thinking, really? How do you pray without ceasing? You know, I'll tell you, here's a clue. Our life, the way we walk, should be a constant intercession with Jesus. Does that mean that you have to sit, you know, that you're at the traffic light and interceding necessarily? No, it's just the way we walk. Because some of us have a misconception about prayer. We think you got to bow your heads. Don't be bowing your heads when you're driving. Keep your eye on the road, okay? And don't be bowing your heads when you're making dinner, because, you know, we may add a little bit more than I need, okay? Just trying to help you. Prayer should be as natural as breathing. Because you may find yourself in a situation where instead of what your sentence was, you say, hold on, I need to call on Jesus. And I've had people, just this morning, the person stopped me and I was in the foyer and they said, I was upstairs in the balcony. He said, could you pray with me over this particular situation? Don't you know? And I said, wait a minute, hold on, I got to, and I have to give myself a count to 10. Honey, it's the next thing that comes out of your mouth. We're not trying to get you all pumped up. Oh, let me speak in tongues for 20 minutes before I can pray for you. No, honey, I got a direct line to Jesus. And the very next word that comes out of my mouth, he'll hear it. And that's what God wants to do. Well, it does not require any physical adjustment. Got to fall to your knees, you know, do whatever you do and go through all your aerobics. No. It is a spiritual, get this, Wi-Fi connection without any limits or any additional charges. Amen. That's how my brain works, so just deal with it, okay? Ever tried to get Wi-Fi, couldn't get it? And you're just kind of out there, oh, you're past the limits. Oh, it doesn't reach that far. There are no limits to God's ability, and you'll always have a connection. You don't have to require, it doesn't require anything else. Except, so Lord, he hears you wherever you are. See, this is one reason why you need to ditch technology sometimes, because sometimes when you need it the most, it ain't there. Lord, help us, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, prayer is an expression of our faith in action. We pray for deliverance from ignorance and not knowing what to do. Somebody say amen. 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 See, some of you thought you were really smart till you hit that particular place. And all said, oh, Jesus, it wasn't like I thought it was going to be. I don't mind being called ignorant when I know that my daddy knows everything. But we go, oh, don't call me ignorant. I just that offends me. Offend me, I don't care, because he knows everything. Everything I need to know, and even beyond that, the Holy Spirit will reveal to me. Well, God will answer out of his omniscience or his unlimited creative power. Omniscience. The word science is in that. Omniscience. See, science is just now discovering things that God already knew. I like to go to the source who knows everything. See, we're just trying to figure things out. God's already got it figured out because he made it all. Why don't you go to the top source and stop messing with the underlings, okay? How about this piece? We are subject to impotence, lack of power, strength, or vigor. It's not potent. We just kind of scratch the surface. We don't have any influence. But how about this? God will answer out of his omnipotence, his unlimited power and authority to do what nobody else can do. Somebody shout amen. He can do what nobody else can do. I used to love Superman. Every now and then I'll wear my Superman t-shirt. It's not because I worship Superman. It's because I had to buy it when I was over in the Philippines. It's the only thing that fit me, but that's okay. Able to leap tall buildings in. Faster than. See, y'all know who he is. Superman been dead I don't know how long. You all remember all that stuff. But I want you to know God is greater than that. But I remember I lose the stream all of a sudden because I knew Superman's going to get in that telephone booth. He's going to come out somebody totally different. And he's going around slapping folks around. Throwing cars around and stopping trains and this type of thing. Except some kryptonite. Put some of that in his coffee and it'll slow him down. Just thought I'd let you know, okay? He had limitations. We must shut the door to anything that will take our focus away from what we're asking Jesus to do. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, I need to tell you how to shut the door. Remember that song? He said, shut the door, keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the candle in the night. Shut the door, keep out the devil. Light the candles, gonna be all right. Remember that song? We sang that right here on this stage. Where have you been? Anyway, pitiful. Bunch of newbies, that's all they are. But we shut the door to anything that will take our focus away from what we're asking Jesus to do. The greatest hindrance to our prayer is prayer can be fear of God not answering. That's the reason why we don't pray. What if I pray and he doesn't answer? You know what your solution is? I won't pray. Oh, that's smart. And that fear is real because many of us have prayed before and we didn't get an answer at that particular time. So therefore our assumption is God is not going to answer. I'm going to help you with that in just a few moments. But to make that as the preventative of you praying, no. No. We must be willing to come before God with boldness and belief that he will hear us for Jesus' sake. Because, you know, the disciples come to Jesus and says, you know, Master, teach us to pray. And I love the way Jesus approached it. He says, when you pray, I want to set you up for success. Shut the door on anything that will hinder your prayer. We cannot not allow prayers that we have prayed in the past that have yet to be answered to influence what we are requesting at the moment. If you have a prayer list, I won't ask how many people do have a prayer list and how you list them and bring them before folks. It's totally up to you. But sometimes we weary that there's things we've been praying for years. I'll give you some examples as we go through this progression of teaching, but probably not today. We must spiritually shut the door to keep the enemy from attacking our faith in the promises of God. In other words, we must allow our faith to move forward with God to receive the answer. Furthermore, we must allow vision and hope of God's promise to release praise as we pray. With prayer and thanksgiving, those two work together. As you're praying and asking for things, you thank him for what he's already done. And what that does, it stimulates your faith saying, wait a minute, I'm praying for God for this, but you know what? I'm thankful he brought me this far. Some folks didn't think you'd make it this far. Some people thought you would just kind of peter out along the way. But you know something? It's by faith we've come this far. And by faith we're going forward. And so we need to really understand when we pray, we're on a journey somewhere. And so God is about to do something big. Prayer should include thanksgiving as an offering of confidence in the one we have prayed to, knowing he is able to do exceedingly above what we could ask, think, or imagine. Wow. Well, our confidence in prayer is to know that God will supply all of our need. Turn to somebody to look at them and tell them this, God's got it. God's got it. Philippians 4:19. You love the scripture, it's great. Philippians 4:19. It's coming, da 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 da. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You know, it says, my God shall supply all your... Where'd that S come from? Because it's not in there. It says all your need, if you look in your Bible. The S isn't there. When the S is put in that particular position, we feel like, go to God, here's my laundry list. Here you go, Jesus. This is what you're supposed to do. That scripture said, all my need, I done wrote them down. We have a problem discerning what a need is. Need in our culture is entitlement. Need in our culture is do for me like you did for them. Come on. Give me a car like hers. Give me a job like his. Oh, this is going to be brutal. When the Lord is truly our shepherd, we shall not lack. Psalm 23:1, you know this one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So there's a difference between want and need. Some people say, well, you know, want and needs are the same. No, they're not. When David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is that I will never deviate away from anything of my allegiance toward God based upon something I wanted and didn't get. I'm not going to want. If God wants it, God has it for me, I trust in the shepherd. He's going to give me everything that I need. My daddy told me this. He says, I'll give you what you need. You work for what you want. Oh, yes, he did. I'm going to put a roof over your head. I'm going to put food in the refrigerator. But if you want something else like this, you want another bicycle, you better get you a job and get you another bicycle. You understand? That's what you want. I'm going to give you what you need. It was the best thing ever. And wasn't my and sometimes I thought my daddy was mean. Well, some cases he was, but that's another story. But it taught me some character. It taught me the very fact that, you know what? The very basic necessities out of love are provided for me, and God will infuse me with the grace and the power and the wisdom to use the gifts, the talents, and the abilities to get those other things that I want. But I want to tell you something. Don't get greedy. See, part of us is motivated by greed. Oh, Lord. David found the key to a relationship with God was in knowing that God would supply all of our needs. We must be careful and use discernment between the things we need and the things we want. And how about this? We will never be without anything we need as we trust in the Lord. Now, I'm going to take you off the frame of what we're used to in the United States. I want to take you to a refugee camp over in one of the countries right now where there are literally hundreds of thousands of people. Some of them are Christians that have been thrown out of their country because of their belief, and others because there's a war going on in Syria and such like this. What makes you different from them? Some of them don't know where their next meal is coming from. And they're a believer. And they pray to the same God that you do. Oh, I'm going to help you today to get over this greedy culture that we feel like we should have, and they don't need it. But somehow, God is going to install in us the attitude of being satisfied with Jesus alone. If they take everything away from you, I'm going to be okay as long as Jesus is in my life. Come on. Jesus is more than a need meter. And they put the wrong meter up there, I think. It should be M-E-E-T-E-R. Not a meter where you just go up and down, you know? I know they said that's not a proper word. It is today. See, they tried to second guess me. No, I didn't mean that one. I mean the little graph. I mean, the person that Jesus is more than, Jesus, I got this email. Go ahead and take it. And we put our list before the Lord. Bring your list before the Lord. You find that in the Bible. It's not in there. Here we go. Jesus is a life giver. Before you knew, or before you really understood, you were on a highway to hell, and Jesus gave you new life. That within itself is enough. You have no complaints. If you died right now, and that's all you had was eternal life, believe me, you have a guaranteed home in heaven. Many people out here have got twice or millions times more than you have, and they don't have the basic of what you have, what's needed to get to heaven. He's given you life and eternal life. You ought to thank him. He's the foundation of your hope. I don't know whether, I can't remember all the way it goes, but I tell you what, they tell you that you can basically, the body has the ability, and other people have proven the fact, you can not eat or fast for 40, 50 days and survive, as Jesus did. They say that there are people who have experienced being without water as long as 12 days and still survived. There are still those people who have been able to navigate somehow with the supernatural. God has made it to the point where they made it without breathing or without air for as long as 20 or 30 minutes. But you know what? You can't live 1 second without hope. And that's what God gave us through Jesus Christ. Now we have hope that we can move on, that we can live. So here, see, a lot of people die because they give up hope. Whatever. And that's when they'll take their life, or they'll take that extra pill or whatever it was, or they'll drive into an abutment on three, because when hope is gone, they're headed for suicide. But I want to tell you, God has given you hope that you've got someone to live for, not something. We used to say that he's a way maker. He can make a way out of no way. Anybody wave your hand, ever had to make a way out of no way? You thought you were done, and all of a sudden God came along and said, oh no, but look over here. I got something for you. Here's a question. Everybody listen very carefully to this question. I don't need you to answer out loud, but by the time this service is over, you're going to have to answer it. If Jesus asked you right now, what do you want me to do for you? What would you ask of him? I'm going to give you a few little hints. If you immediately went to the material car and says, give me $1 million, you got issues. And I can't help you. But if it went away from the fact of something for you, and it went for something for someone else, Jesus can do wonderful things in your life. Because we've got to learn to live beyond ourselves. God, if you could just save my whole family, if you could save my neighbor, if you get my friend off of drugs, if you get this particular thing happen, God, if I have one request, if I only get one, this is the one I would say, just get, you know, these people to live again. That's prayer. I'm going to teach you how to pray. Is if you only had one request, what would it be? Only one, only one, only one. How are you going to spend it? That will give you the temperature and the texture of your heart of how much connected you are to the will of God. Oh, I know you're restless now, but I'm sorry. I had to drop the bomb. Now, what God has to do to fix you, to get you to that particular place where you're living outside of yourself, you're not living inwardly, but you're living outwardly, that's what the whole message about praying is about. He teaches you how to pray, but you know, the will of God is for every man and woman to know Jesus. So we need to pray in accordance with God's heart. Well, I got a little bit of time left. I'm going to take you to a story here that will just help you. We must learn to push in the presence of God. You know what push means? Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. I'm going to change the way that you go after this particular thing, because you say, I pray until something happens. What that means? No, I'm not talking about frustration. I'm talking about there's an earnestness that we can get within our spirit where the Holy Spirit is allowed to pray through us. See, our prayers they're okay. But there's something about when the Holy Spirit gets on the inside, somehow you just can't let go until you really feel like there's a release. And God says, okay, it's going to happen. Even if you don't see it. So let's go into our scripture here. It's going to be in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. Here we go. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees. Keep going. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. Oh, I felt the Holy Spirit right there. I want to tell you about the six times you went and nothing happened. But you know what? Some of you stopped at two. Some of you stopped at three and thought you really did something. But see, God is trying to find out the character of what he's actually saying. Because remember, you forget, you read the verse we read here was, he says, go tell Ahab, I hear the sound of rain, but I haven't seen it yet. I want to tell you, what did you hear in your spirit that you have not seen yet? You need to pray according to what the Spirit has told you and not what your eyes have seen. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men what God has in store for those who love him. And I want to say to some of you prophetically today, God has said some things in your spirit that you have not yet seen with your eyes. And you have to pray according to what the Spirit said and not to what your eyes have seen. Oh, it's going to get mixed up in here in just a minute. Because I feel the Holy Spirit about ready to talk to somebody today. Tell them, don't give up. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, don't give up. Whew. God does not have to say yes the first time we pray. Oh, I prayed and God said yes. Da-di-da-da. Yippee. Really? But it's interesting in this scripture that the prophet tells an ungodly person and prophesies to him, I hear the sound of rain. And I know Ahab said, you've got to be crazy. It hasn't rained in 3.5 years. But I want to tell you something. If God said it, say it. Do not be afraid of what people might think of you over what God told you is going to happen. Because I said, if God said it, it's going to happen. You don't have to fulfill anything. All you have to do is be responsive to what God is doing and saying. Well, when there is a delay, there's always a divine reason. Jesus is not testing your endurance when he delays the answer right away. Not now doesn't mean never. We move from the not now to the never just like in just one, oh no, well, that's not going to happen. I want to let you know the devil will take all of your hope in the fact of what your senses have told you, well, it's just got to happen right now. When we pray according to the will of God, we can be assured that he will answer. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Let me stop right there. God heard you. He heard you. Do you get frustrated when people tell you things over and over again and you heard them the first time? You want to say to them, yay, verily, shut up. In the name of Jesus, amen. call it nagging. I don't know what you, anyway. Let me finish that again. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Whoa! This is, according to his will is the part that will trip us up. Because here's the part we say, well, how do I know it's God's will? That's why you should be reading the word, because the word is God's will. And you won't get so confused. We have confidence that he hears us when we pray. The only thing that will hinder our prayers from being heard is unconfessed sin. Psalm 66, 18. I want you to let this be welded into your DNA. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. That's not a suggestion. That is a fact. The word regard, it means hold on to. Or give myself reason or excuses to be bitter or to be angry with somebody. They hurt me. Never until they apologize, I'm not going to forgive them. And God said, fine, I ain't going to answer your prayer until you do. So go ahead. Go ahead. You ain't hurting me. You hurting yourself. Seriously? Do you want to answer your prayer or do you want to be mad? Which one? Take your pick. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, let go. Let it go. Tell them, let it go. Because it's keeping you from entering into what God has appointed for you to have. We must be willing to let go of bitterness toward others to receive answers to our prayers. I'm going to try to finish this little portion on Elijah. Elijah was a prophet of faith and was willing to declare what God had told him was going to happen, even when there was no physical sign of it being present. I want to talk to you about visions that you've had of the future. And actually, in those visions, I'll install promises. Some of them were promises toward, you know, family members, people at work that need to know Jesus, healing for other folks. Remember, I'm going to get out of yourself. We'll deal with your stuff later. But I'm talking about things for other people that will help them to be all that Jesus wants them to be. Here's a clue. When we pray, we may allow the Holy Spirit to deposit in our hearts assurance of what we are praying for without there being any physical evidence. You prayed and all of a sudden a peace comes over you. It's going to happen, but there's no sign anywhere anything's changed. Who are you going to believe? The symptoms or the Spirit? I want to train us to obey and to respond to the Spirit and not to circumstances. Wow. Prayer will get you in tune with the mind, the heart, and the plan of God. Prayer will make you sensitive to the will of God in the supernatural ways that will confound the wisdom of man. And Elijah heard the sound of rain in the Spirit before he saw the sight of it in his flesh. There are sounds in your spirit of confirmation that nobody else hears but you. And you'll say, you crazy. You really believe that's going to happen? You must be out of your mind. Yes, I am. I'm out of my mind into his. I just left you here. I'm up there with him. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ right now, and we're having a conversation about the future of other people who don't know him right now. I'll be back to you later on, okay? I got this divine connection with God, and he's speaking into my spirit, and he's allowing me to feel and to sense and to know things that have yet to come to pass. There's a prophetic part that God wants to impart to you. If you'll get connected with him. Oh, Jesus, help us. So Elijah sought the presence of God on Mount Carmel. You know, it's interesting, this particular text of scripture, I need to tell you where this whole thing started from. You know, there's no rain, hadn't been rained for 3.5 years. And so, really, how it started was, you know, he could see the entire area of where he's up there at Mount Carmel, and he put his face in his hands, and he's, you know, prayed for rain, and there's no rain as a result of a severe drought. Now, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years except at my word." Oh boy. Oh boy. Now look at this thing. Elijah prophesies it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. God told me I could say this. True story, it happens. And during that time where there was no rain, a lot of horrible things happened. People were doing all kind of crazy stuff, and land's drying up, and all kinds of stuff's going on. But it's all because of a prophetic word that Elijah spoke. Well, Elijah postured himself in such a way that he determined that there was going to be a breakthrough in spite of what had happened before. But here, look at this. The person he told originally, Ahab, he says, send a message to Ahab and tell him things are going to change. I heard the sound of rain. That's crazy. Unless God really said it. We often give up because we do not want what we want bad enough. Amen. Oh, well, that's okay. I'll be okay. That's fine. I'll just deal with it. I guess this is my lot in life. You know, God wants me to be miserable. And this is okay. You know, it is okay. I'm not going to pray about it no more. This is it. I wait till Jesus come to get me. But I will tell you this much. We don't know whether God will, but I'll tell you one thing. We know he can. God is not short in anything. Now, I must admit that some things you may not see in your lifetime, but I'll tell you what. If God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Sometimes God's no means not yet, and I want to prove that to you in the next few moments. Elijah sent his servant 7 times to look for an answer to his prayer. That means, can I speculate just a little bit? First time he goes out there and looks for rain, doesn't see anything. He runs back real quickly. No, Elijah, don't see any rain. He sends him out again. And this time he sees, oh boy. So this time he doesn't come back, you know, in half an hour or so. He comes back in an hour, thinking that if he stays longer, it's going to show up. You know where I'm coming with this. Nothing happened. 3rd time he sends him back there, he gets him a tent. Stays there all day long. I'm waiting on Jesus, oh Lord, Jesus, rain, Lord, rain. You ain't going to bring nothing. Because you got a little idea how you're going to make it, you're going to force the hand of God. Time number 3 ain't happening. Time number 4, he's about ready not to go back to see him again. He's about ready to hit the road going some other direction. He said, better not do that. Better go back and see. Tell man, ain't no rain yet. Ain't no rain. Let me take you to time number five. Number five, I don't know about you, if you were the servant, but I know about me. I think, Elijah done lost his mind. Homie don't know what he's talking about. I'm tired of running up and down and trying to get through all this mess. I'm about ready to hit the road, and he's never going to see me again. But somehow, he got the grace to say, go down there and wait. He says, there still is no rain. Time number six. He said, do it again. Now, let me just pause for a moment. I want to talk to you about persevering in prayer. It's not a marathon. It's not something to tantalize you. It's an opportunity for you to be that particular place. That, remember what he said in the beginning. I hear the sound of rain. As many times as it takes before you see it, keep going. If God has deposited that in your spirit, keep going with anticipation. Oh, glory to God. I'm about to say something here. So, perseverance in prayer. Then Elijah had experienced prayers. I want to tell you, when the answer was delayed, I'm going to tell you this real quickly because I need to help you understand. This isn't the first time that he's had a delay. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 20 through 24. This will help you. Elijah took the child. Now, the story behind this is Elijah had prayed for this lady. She had a child and this type of thing, and the child dies. Okay, child's dead. No, go back to where you were. I'm sorry, did I get ahead of you? There we go. All right, 23. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room in the house and gave him to his mother. Mother, no, wait a minute. I think we're ahead of it. You got ahead of me. Go back some. I'm sorry. Go to verse 20. There we go. Okay. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow whom I lodge by killing her son? Verse 21. And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. My question is, why do you have to do it three times? Why couldn't you do it one time? Do you get it? One time wasn't enough? Two times wasn't enough? Now note what it says here. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived after the third time. Not at the first, not at the second, but at the third. Is it beginning to get into your soul now? We quit too soon. And so he delivers the child back to her. Then they go on to verse 23. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave it back to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. Do you know why you're going through stuff various times and it takes a little bit of time? Because when it's tested and when it looks like it's not going to come true, then God, the belief and the faith of people will come to pass once we don't give up and we just persevere with God and God comes through with a miracle. Don't quit too soon. I'm going to stop there for today because I'll get myself over the top here. That means you got to come back next week. That's all I can. Well, let me wrap this up with this thought. Because there's some of you, I'm going to say some prophetic words to people, not necessarily individually, but I'll say them and you're going to latch onto it because this is going to be something for you. When God tells you to do something, don't hesitate. Do exactly what he tells you to do, even maybe be inconvenient, maybe you don't feel like it's the thing to do. Very practical example this week, a very good friend of mine, her mother passed away. But on the day her mother passed away, the Lord said, I was at my office, I was working on my sermon, the Lord says, get up, go to her house and visit with her, the lady who's dying, because I've known her for years. You need to go and pray with her. I'm saying, well, she's in her last stages of cancer. You know, you rationalize stuff. So I get to the house, and she's there, and I said, well, I'm here. And she says, Pastor Richard's here, and this type of thing. And so she tells her mother that, and she says, tell him to come back tomorrow. Excuse me? Now, you know what that will tell you? It will make you doubt that God talked to you. Is that not true? And you say, well, I must have got that one all wrong. And God says, go out, sit down in the living room. It's going to change. So I sat there for a while. I was talking to her. I said, that ain't Jesus talking. That's the drug she's been taking talking. She'll change her mind. It wasn't 20, 25 minutes, and they go in there again. Last week, oh, bring him right in. We get discouraged, and we will allow something that happens to undermine what God told us to do. Because it doesn't seem like it's going to happen the way that God said we're supposed to do it. We give up too easily. So I went in there with her and had prayer with her. She was totally lucid. I'd known her all my life. We prayed and held hands together and just basically ushered her in the kingdom of God. Don't you know I got a call at 5:30? She passed away. But I did what I was supposed to do. You hear what I'm saying? When God tells you to do something, stop hesitating, stop putting it off. Allow the Holy Spirit to direct your life. Everybody bow your heads right now. Everybody. I want to talk directly to some people that are sitting in this room right now. God has told you directly some things to do. Some of you, God has told you, this is the day to repent and to get things right with me. God said that. And part of you is, some of you are disillusioned because of prayer. You prayed over certain things and it didn't happen, it didn't occur. Maybe you said, I'll never pray again. Maybe you say, I'll never believe again. But devil, you're a liar. God is going to give and restore the faith of those who desire to believe in Jesus, and their prayers will be restored.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.